meeting. Thank you so much for joining me. Isn't it such a beautiful day? It is so nice, right? Oh my gosh, when the original meeting was supposed to be for what, January 29th in the snow, I said, you know what, God then blessed us double for today. So what do y'all think about these rose petals on the floor? Isn't it interesting? Like, true story, I was processing this meeting, right? And I'm a visual person, so I saw rose petals on the floor, and I said, God, what is this about, right? So I was being drawn to pink rose petals, so I did research, and I said, what does this all mean? Now, I want y'all to get your spiritual ears open for this and let the Holy Spirit minister to you, because this is super interesting. So in my research, God took me to find a pink rose called New Dawn, D-A-W-N. And just to find that, I said, this is very interesting, just to see that name, right? So what do you think New Dawn represents? Hope, new beginnings. Who said that? Yes, new beginning, hope. So, Sister Nancy, can you put BP1 up for me? This is what the New Dawn Rose looks like. All right, now here's what I want y'all to zone into. I'm going to give you the characteristics of a New Dawn Rose. This rose is a soft shell, kind-hearted, I'm sorry, this rose is a soft shell, blushed pink semi-double to double flower with yellow stamens on long stems that can grow up to 40 petals per rose. It's a large flowered climbing rose. It can grow as tall as 10 to 15 feet high. The width of the rose can grow between 6 to 8 feet. It has a sweet, fruity fragrance. It's more resistant to disease than other roses. It has an unusual lifespan. Blooms heaviest in June, then repeat blooms through the fall. The New Dawn Rose is considered one of the best roses that you can grow. It's used best for weddings, and it's beautiful for landscaping your home. Now, God showed me that we, in His eyes, are like the New Dawn Rose. So, BP2, please. This is how we're like the New Dawn Rose. This rose has a soft shell, meaning kind-hearted, loving. Okay. Blush pink, semi-double to double flower with yellow stamens on long stems that can grow up to 40 petals per rose. This is the talents and beauty that we have. Okay. It's a large flowered climbing rose. It can grow as tall as 10 feet high. The width of the rose can grow between 6 to 8 feet. Mm-hmm. Can you go to slide 3, I think? Yeah, there you go. Yep, stay right there. This means strong tower for us, right? It has a sweet, fruity fragrance. This is the aroma of us, pleasing to God, good character, anointing. Okay. It's more resistant. You can turn now, Sister Nancy. It's more resistant to disease than other roses. That's our natural strength. Okay. It has unusual lifespan, which means endurance for us. We can keep enduring and keep going and going. Okay, you can go to the next one. blooms heaviest in June, then repeat blooms through the fall. That's our beauty on display repeatedly. Okay, this rose continually blooms, and it's a beautiful rose. The new dawn rose is considered one of the best roses that you can grow. It has value. We have value, right? And it's used best for weddings. Here it is, the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. And it's beautiful for landscaping your home, which to us is natural beauty that brings joy to others. This is how God looks at us through his eyes. Now, on the flip side, Sister Nancy, you could put up B3. As I was doing research on the pink roses, I found out that pink roses in general means new life, kingliness, Father's heavenly care, feminine, Rose of Sharon. Okay. Song of Solomon 2 speaks about a Rose of Sharon. The Song of Songs, which is symbolic for how God feels about his chosen people, the Israelites, and how Jesus feels about the church, his bride. Song of Solomon 2 reads, "I am the Rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Like a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters." Here's what I want you to understand today. God wants to love us back to life. He wants us to know that we know that we know that we know who we are in him and how we are loved by him. He is the lover of our soul, our first love, the ruler of heaven and earth. He is the Rose of Sharon, the lily among the valley, and thorns within our lives. Have you ever been pricked by a thorn? Oh, it hurts, right? Doesn't it bring tears to your eyes? It's just like you just get so upset and angry, you just don't know what to do. Yeah. So it is in the valley, when we are in the valley. Thank you. How many of you know what a valley is? You're familiar with it. A valley is a low area of land between hills or mountains, typically with a river or stream flowing through it. That's what a valley is. In the dictionary, a word that is referenced to valley is depression, a hole. When you think about a low area of land between hills or mountains, you think about how big that hill or mountain can be. But did you catch on to what the second part of what a valley has? A river or stream flowing through it. So what does this mean, y'all? We're not alone, right? We are not alone. Isaiah 33:21-22 says, But the Lord in majesty will be for us a place of broad rivers and streams, where no galley with oars can go, nor majestic ship can pass. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us. He will save us. Psalms 46:4 says, "There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High." We should get excited today about this. Isn't it? It's exciting, right? Isaiah 44:3 says, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." Are you ready to be blessed today? Are you ready for God to pour out water to heal your land? Are you ready for God to pour out his spirit to rest upon you and bless you? God invited you into this place and you have accepted the invitation. So, let's be blessed by the Father. Hi! We are going to go into praise and worship, and I want you ladies to be so blessed in the Father. Just relax in the Lord. Don't worry about anything that you brought in here. Don't worry about the cares of this world, your bills, your children, what your husband just said to you. Don't worry about none of that. You are in the presence of the Lord. All right. This praise and worship has a sweet essence to it. It's strong, but it's super sweet. And this is the Father's touch for every single last one of us. Okay. Sister Nancy, you can start. Father, we just thank you. We just praise you, Father. Father, let your spirit minister to us at this moment. The Lord wants us to know that He has such a deep love for us that no one would be able to take that away from us. We are loved. We are absolutely loved by the Father. On January the 16th, I asked the Father, what do you want me to tell the women? Sister Nancy, you could put that up. And this is what God spoke. Tell them they are my daughters. They are my chosen ones. They are here to do a special works for the kingdom of light. I have handpicked them before the foundation of the world. So each and every one of us that came out today, and those who will be coming, God has chosen us for a special work. He wants us to know that we know that we know we are chosen by Him. This is not anything that we can do. He chose us. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. What does consecrate mean? It means make or declare sacred. Dedicated formally to a religious or divine purpose. A divine purpose. Consecrate is considered to be sanctified, blessed, make holy, make sacred, hallow, set apart, dedicated to God, anoint, ordain. What does this mean? God has set us apart, blessed us, sanctified us, dedicated us back to Him, made us holy, anointed us, ordained us for His divine purpose. God did this. Divine is godlike, heavenly, excellent in the highest degree, extraordinary, above what is human. This tells me that we don't belong to the enemy, right? We belong to God. Deuteronomy 7:6 says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." God chose us to be his people to do whatever he so desires to do to and through us. And if God is as good as we know him to be, good things are to come for each and every one of us in this room today. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in the future." Did y'all catch on that last song was God singing to us? I love when he said, or when they sung that part about, "I have plans. I know the plans I have for you," or what have you. And then he said, "I set every star into place." That is so beautiful. Only God. Only God, right? So God is no longer having us wait to see things happen. He's moving right now, even as I speak. God is touching each and every one of us in this room through his goodness. God set this scene up today. He chose the songs. I can't make this stuff up, right? I had no idea about the new dawn rose, about how I didn't know anything about roses. And when God had put me on this trail, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful. And it's the song Roses, y'all. Isn't that beautiful? He must have known about the heartaches long before us. Oh my gosh. And he still chose us. That's how, this is the Father. This is his love. It is beyond my comprehension. Do you know the glory of God is the goodness of the Lord? When Moses said, "Lord, please show me your glory," God's response was, "I'll make all of my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." So when Moses cried out to God, "Show me your glory," that was his response. "I will make all of my goodness pass before you." What does that even look like? What does that even sound like? God moves in his glory. He moves in his goodness. Psalms 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Psalms 31:19 says, "Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and work for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of mankind." You know, abundant means rich, plentiful. So when you think about it, in your human mind, you can't even begin to see where that goodness begins and where it ends. You can't even wrap that around your mind. Now, God spoke, and by the way, God speaks in green, and then I add the other stuff. But God spoke and said, "Each one of you have a unique design and talent bestowed upon you." Now, unique means being the only one of its kind, unlike anything else. How many of us have a problem with people not understanding us? Oh my, right? This is why we're unique. We're all daughters of God, but individually we are one of a kind. So, you know, nobody is like you. You are in a league of your own. Okay. Guess what? God approved it. He stamped his sister Grace. You and I have conversations all the time. He approved you. He loves you. Y'all see these crowns over here? Each and every one of them serve the same purpose, but they are unique. They're different. They have their own thing going on. And so it is with us, right? So, God said each one has a unique design and talent bestowed upon them. Now, a talent is a natural skill that you flow in. It's a natural skill. It comes naturally to you, but your skill would be hard for someone else. Other people can't comprehend it because it's a natural thing that God gave you. Is something that God placed upon you that you can easily understand and you can easily attain it, right? That's what that natural talent means. Now, going back to Deuteronomy 7:6, where the Lord said, "The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people of his own, a possession, his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." We have to understand that we are spiritual heirs of Abraham's seed. And Abraham's seed is blessed. Okay. Let's go to Genesis 17:7. The sign of the covenant. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly." Then Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." Now, understand what God just said. He said, "I have made you." He didn't have children right now. So you see how God already predestines us to walk in this goodness that he has for us. He said, "I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant," It will go on and on and on. To be to you and your descendants. I missed something. To be God to you and your descendants after you. "Also, I give to you and your descendants after you in the land which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession." Here's that everlasting again. See how good God is? "And I will be their God." God made promises to Abraham and his seed, promises of a land for an everlasting possession, an innumerable family, and blessings on all nations of the earth. Now, the seed of Abraham is Christ and his elect. Galatians 3:15-16 says, "Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it." Okay. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, "and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed," who is Christ. Now Galatians 3:26 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Here's the everlasting covenant, the everlasting possession, the blessings that rest upon all the nations of the earth who are the seed of Abraham. This is about us, okay? We are the elect of Christ. We are the chosen ones, like God spoke in the beginning of this prophetic word. Now, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, Paul spoke to the church of Ephesus, stating the following: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." We are accepted in the beloved, regarded favorably, fully approved in the kingdom of light. Now, Psalms 84:11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor." Now, God continues to say to us all, to you all, "The enemy has fought hard and long to try to destroy my daughters, but I said, no, you cannot have them. They belong to me." Now, right up front when I started to process this message, I remember being out in the park and I was thinking about whatever God wanted to share. And immediately God showed me, or he reminded me, of how he put enmity between the seed of Satan and the seed of the woman. So let's go to Genesis 3:15. It says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is around the time where the serpent got, his punishment, so to speak, for deceiving Eve, right? So this is what God said. He said, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now, enmity means the state of feeling or being actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. How many of you can agree that Satan is in God's perfect will? Oh my, doesn't he actively oppose the seed of the woman, the children of God? He took that and he ran so far with it and said, "God, this is what you did. You did this." So let's go a little bit further about this. Let's go into this. Another word for enmity is hostility, unfriendliness, friction, disharmony, feud. You know, this morning I was reading this message over, and I remember years ago how it used to be a saying, a worldly saying. They would say, "I don't want no friction." Do y'all remember that? "I don't want no friction." And I didn't understand that because I was a little girl, but now I see. And I was like, "Oh, you mean you don't really want no problems? You don't want no issues here?" So let's talk about feud, though. Feud is a state of prolong is another word for longer than usual, lengthy. So feud is a state of prolonged mutual hostility, typically between two families and or communities. I'm going to read that one more time. Feud is a state of prolonged mutual hostility, typically between two families or communities. Let's think about this. God's seed and the enemy seed. Okay. Characterized by violent assaults and revenge for previous injuries. This is what a feud is. Now, we are in war with the seed of the serpent, the devil and his dark angels. So mutual, what I read earlier, means you share something in common. Satan hates us. He absolutely cannot stand us. We should feel the same way. We should feel the same. If we have anything in common with Satan, it should be this. Let's hate each other. Let's not be in agreement with anything that we do, you know. We should be actively opposing Satan for what he's done in our lives, our loved ones' lives, for what he does on a regular basis to the people of God in general. Okay. Now, there's a sword over there in that floor. Okay. I remember sitting where Sister Grace is at. Thank you. I remember sitting where Sister Grace is right now, a couple years back. It wasn't that far. It wasn't that long ago. And I remember being so defeated. That's the only word I could say. Defeated. God knew it, and he talked to me about it. Pastor Barbara stepped down. She looked right at me. I didn't say nothing. I was there just like this. I was listening, but I was like, just upset and just mad, right? Pastor looked at me and said, through the Spirit of God, God was speaking and said, daughter, defeat is not in my vocabulary for my children in the Bible, you know. And he said, you've come this far. You're going to let the enemy defeat you now. And I was sitting there and I said, I thought about it as God was speaking. And I said, oh, heck no, no, no. You know, something rose up in me. And then Sister Nancy came to the altar. She was doing the altar thing that night. And God had me come up there and Sister Nancy broke that devil off of me. I fell back. I said, Lord, have mercy. Like we get there sometimes. We feel defeated because them battles be real. But we should be able to take that sword and tell that devil, you're not going to come any further. Be prepared to fight. Like you come to that place because you no longer become a victim. You have to be a warrior. So on that note, this is who we should look like right now. Huh? Look at that. Go up a little bit further. I want to show y'all something. Stop right there. Go up a little bit further. Go to the end of her, of that picture. I want to show y'all something right there. If y'all notice, I'm going to tell y'all something. This is a horse at the bottom of her foot. That horse is down for the count. That right there, that little shield is a person. That's the horse and its riders. She didn't came in there and tore some stuff up. That's what I'm talking about. This is who we should be. Do you know why? There's enmity between the seed of God and the seed of the serpent. This is what the devil tries to do to us. We need to do the same thing back, right? Let's go to the next one. She's fully satisfied. I just want y'all to see that sword, right? She's like, I wish you would mess with me again. Let's go to the next one. This is my favorite one. This is my favorite one. Do you know why? She looks like she's just like, either she sees her enemies from afar and she knows exactly what she's going to do, or she just did it. And she's just like, I'm done. This was my purpose in life right here, and I didn't complete my assignment. This is how we should be in the spirit. So God said, from this day forward, there will be a war between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Why do you think God had to place war between the woman's seed and the serpent's seed? So his people would never be deceived again by the plans of Satan. We should have nothing in common with Satan. We are the children of God. We don't look like him, right? He doesn't look like us. He doesn't look like us. He doesn't talk like us. He doesn't move like us. So, he does not look like a child of God. There was a line drawn to separate the children of God from Satan and his seed. We have been sealed by our Father, and the enemy knows it. He sees it, and he's after us. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, but God's firm foundation stands bearing this seal. The Lord knows who are his. 2 Corinthians 1:21, 22 says, and it is God who established us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So guarantee stuck out in my mind, and I said, let me get this guarantee down. Guarantee is a formal promise or assurance, typically in writing, that certain conditions will be fulfilled, especially that a product will be repaired or replaced, if not of a specified quality or durability. This is very interesting because this goes back to God's covenant. It goes back to his assurance. This is like a bond for us. Like, this thing can't be broken. It's guaranteed. You could take it to the bank, right? So we can trust God. He established us through his son Jesus, the savior of the world. He anointed us, sealed us, and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. What more can we ask for? We belong to the Father. Now God continues to say, daughters, understand that I am a God of love. I am not a man that tosses you to the side to trample upon you. I am a father who loves his children. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. He first loved us. 1 John 3:1 says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Psalms 103:13 says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Now God continues to speak and say, know this day, I am for you and not against you. I have seen it all, the good and the bad. The enemy tried to steal, kill, and destroy, but I would not allow for him to finish you off. He does not have the authority to take you out. I'm going to read this one more time. Know this day, I am for you and not against you. Somehow Satan puts a little thought in our mind that God doesn't love us. He's not for us. He doesn't care about us. But that is a lie. God said, I've seen it all, the good and the bad. The enemy tried to steal, kill, and destroy, but I would not allow for him to finish you off. He does not have the authority to take you out. Now, Satan has authority.
But he hasn't, but he doesn't have the authority to take you out. As I was studying this, I ran across this scripture in Luke 4:5-8. And it says, then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, meaning Jesus, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to Jesus, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to you whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Now, we have all authority through Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth, in heaven and on earth, has been given to me. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. 1 John 4:4 says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We have the victory. We have the victory. God has given us the authority through his son, Jesus Christ. We are overcomers and the enemy cannot stop us, right? God said, I am a father of healing and restoration. I am a father who turns all things around for the good of those who love me. I know at times you weren't sure if you could continue on, but you did. I gave you the strength to keep moving. I covered you in my love. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalms 103:2-4 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. You know, steadfast means consistent. It's actively going. It doesn't quit, right? So God is always pursuing us. He's always running after us. That last song, I'll Chase You Down. It's just a wonderful thing. Now, Joel 2:25-26 says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army, which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. This is where God is at really right now. This is a new era that we're in. And God is like moving where, you know, this is, what did God say? This is the season where the last shall be first and the first shall be last. This is where God is at. So the shame, ain't no more shame going on, okay? It ain't no more craziness that the enemy's trying to put on us, because we're being built up so strong in the Lord. None of this stuff matters, right? So God continues to say, receive my love today in its fullness. Allow for me to heal the broken heart, the disappointment that resides within. Allow for me to comfort you and bring you joy once again. Psalms 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Psalms 51:12 says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Isaiah 61:7 says, instead of your shame, there shall be a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess a double portion. They shall have everlasting joy. I want us to believe this today. This is like the heart of God. God continues to say, daughters, your life is not over. This is just the beginning. It doesn't matter how old you are in here today. This is just the beginning. There are many things I have in store for you. The battle is not yours. It belongs to me. All you have to do is rest in my goodness, receive my love, and be made whole. Now, rest is another word for trust. Trust in the goodness of the Lord. Receive his love and be made whole. This is what God wants to do. Now, in Psalms 23:1-6, a psalm of David reads, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." This should be our scripture forever. Like, I can't memorize it, but still, that should, this right here, when you fight with that sword and that shield, oh my gosh, the Lord is with me, devil. He has prepared a table in the presence of my enemies. God said, come and be refreshed and renewed. Thirst no more. Can you put that picture up for me? Now, John 6:35 says, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Today, God has blessed us by giving us insight that through his eyes, we are like the new dawn rose. We're beautiful, strong towers that carry a sweet fragrance. We can endure the fight. We have a natural strength and beauty that brings people joy. He told us we are chosen. We have a special works to do for the kingdom of light. We have gifts and talents that he's given us. We are blessed and not cursed. We are the seed of Abraham. We are to fight against that enemy, knowing that we belong to God. And we have the victory. We have the authority through Jesus Christ. Now, God wants to take us deeper. He wants us to stand in our rightful place in him. Sister Nancy, you can put that message back up. Keep on going. Okay. Psalms 144:12 says, "May our sons in their youth be like plants full grown, our daughters like corner pillars cut for the structure of a palace." I have never read that scripture before, but this is what this means. If you see the picture, you can scroll all the way up, Sister Nancy. See the picture there? This is what a corner pillar looks like. Basically, in research, these are women that are holding a building together on top of their head. They are considered the corner pillars, and the corner pillars hold the structure together. Okay. God wants us to hold the structure together. He wants us, you can scroll up, Sister Nancy. He wants us to hold ourselves together in Him. Now, this picture here, it represents our strength and dignity in the Lord. When I saw this, I said, these are women. Okay? They're women. They're strong. They have their gowns and their dresses on. In one book I read that they're holding on top of their head between the structure is a crown. They're wearing their crown, and then the structure is resting on top of their heads. This is who we should be. Like, this is God. So, Revelation 3, you can keep this up too, Sister Nancy, that's fine. You can keep it right there. Revelation 3:11 says, I'm coming quickly, hold fast what you have so that no one will take your crown. So this is what God wants to do. Y'all thought that these crowns were sitting here right pretty for decoration. No. God wants to crown you in your rightful position in Him. He wants you to take a moment. He wants you to look at these crowns. Every crown has been prayed over. And God is going to show you the crown that you are supposed to choose. Every crown has a different anointing. Every crown is different. It has a special touch from the Lord. So sit there for a moment. Think about it. And when you're ready to come up, God is going to crown you to be in your rightful position in Him. Now, I want to tell you something. This crowning doesn't mean that you're going to automatically be transformed. This really is you accepting your will in God, God's perfect will in your life. Excuse me. You're going to now take these steps forward in strength, knowing God is right beside you, holding your hand. Even if you're in the valley, He's the river. He's going to be right there with you. And no matter what, that enemy can't take you out. So when the Holy Spirit reveals to you what crown you're supposed to be crowned on or in, you can come up, you can hold it. But here's what I want you to do. Hold it with reverence, because this is serious. Hold it with reverence and accept the will of God on your life. All right. I'm gonna give y'all a minute. If y'all already know, just come up and I'll pray over y'all and do whatever. But Father, we sure do just give you glory and honor. We just thank you for what you're doing to your daughters. You want to give them such a special touch. You want to give them the strength that they need to go forth. You want to crown them in their rightful place. And I just thank you for it, Father. These are your daughters. You spoke love inside of them. You've given them everything that they need to move forward. So, Father, do what you want to do. Do what you want to do.